Hey guys, it's Colleen. I just want to let everybody know before we get into this episode that this was originally recorded on Monday, November 7th, and it was originally intended to be episode 19. Of course, we changed plans a little bit after the election results and recorded the episode raw and kind of did that direct from tape to iTunes for the first time ever. If you haven't checked that out, please feel free to go back and do so. But you might, this episode had already been mainly edited by the time we decided to do the other one, so you may hear some stuff in this episode that is a little out of place time-wise. There's also a part in the middle where the audio, we had some issues with the original audio and had to use a backup recording, so that is the reason for that change, and you will hear it explained at the end of the episode, and it's actually quite hysterical, the outcome, so stick around for that. So I just wanted to give everybody a heads up. I hope you're all having a great week. Have a great weekend, and thanks for listening. Bye. Broadcast. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the broadcast with Amanda, Shandy, and Colleen. My name is Colleen.
My name is Amanda.
And I'm Shandy.
And what a week it's been.
Yay.
Hashtag.
Hashtag,
I'm turning up my nose.
What is Canada's immigration policy?
Hashtag, the broadcast is still great.
Yep.
Yeah. Hashtag, I actually could move to France.
And welcome to the show.
Oh, no bailing on us now.
How was everybody's week/weekends? We're doing great, guys. We're on a roll here.
Yep. It can only get better from here.
It can only get better. Yeah, did everybody have a good weekend this past weekend? how many times can I say the word weekend in one setting?
Weekend. The weekend was great. Did a lot of weekendy things with my weekend.
Oh my God. OMG.
No,
yeah,
actually,
same here.
The weekend was good. I did a whole lot of nothing. It's sort of my last free weekend for a while, so I really took advantage and
yes.
Oh, that's nice.
Errand and relaxed hard.
Awesome.
That's awesome.
Awesome.
My sister was in town this past weekend. We took her to the flea market, which she loves going to. What else did we do? We went to a restaurant called Cowfish, which is a burger/sushi restaurant.
I'm sorry, what?
It's a burger/sushi restaurant.
Yes, no, I heard you. I'm just trying to wrap my brain around what that is.
So they have burgers and sushi, and then they have these, like, they're called burger ushis or something. Burgushis? I don't remember.
No,
I had one of them. So my sister had a salad of all things, a Cobb salad, which is funny because my sister actually loves sushi. Jay had sushi. Zach had these little, it was like this peanut butter and jelly kids meal, but it was peanut butter and jelly, like the roll was wrapped. Like as sushi.
I have to show you a picture.
I meant to put it on Instagram and I completely forgot. It was adorable. I don't know if you can see this in the camera. That's the PB&J.
Oh, it's beautiful.
Yeah, it was actually really cool. They gave him little kid chopsticks. He tried to use. But yeah, good times. So the burgerushi or burgushi or whatever the fuck it's called, I don't know. I haven't been there enough to be that cultured with it. So I had this pulled pork thing, and it's like pulled pork and coleslaw. It was bacon coleslaw. It was amazing. But it was packaged like it was sushi almost. It was really interesting and really cool. So yeah.
It was wrapped in rice or?
It was wrapped in like sushi wrap. But not. It wasn't full on. I don't know. I'll have to look it up. You're asking me way too many questions. But
it's like one of those like sushi burritos. Like you can get those now. They're like, I know they do them in LA.
It was not a sushi burrito.
Which is really just like a giant sushi hand. It's just like a giant hand roll.
It was kind of like hold on. Let me check. Let me read you the exact description for the one. So it's burgushi, burgushi. It was burgushi. And I got this one. It's called the Down South. Oh, the deliverance roll. Sorry. The down south.
The deliverance roll.
It's pulled pork, caramelized onion and barbecue sauce, wrapped in soy paper and potato strings, then flash fried, topped with house-made bacon, coleslaw, and chives.
That sounds like America on a plate.
It is. It was amazing. It was very good. But I would have to say America on a Plate would actually be the all-American bacon double cheeseburger ushi.
No.
That's
seasoned
certified Angus beef, yellow cheddar cheese, white cheddar cheese, applewood bacon, red onions, wrapped in soy paper and potato strings, then flash fried, topped with ketchup, mustard, dill pickles, and Roma tomatoes, served atop cowfish sauce, served with house seasoned fries. I did not have that. However, that sounds like America on a bun, on a America on a plate, and oh I God, probably
this is offensive to sushi chefs everywhere. Oh no!
That said, this is a chain restaurant, so you can probably find them like anywhere.
So. I don't know. I feel like New York might be too snobby for that.
That's you guys did get a Cheesecake Factory though, so really,
I know. Yeah, we're gonna.
I don't know, but that's what we did this weekend, and then we went for a nature walk on Sunday. It was very excellent.
Lovely.
Nice.
And you guys did weekendy things, which aren't really worth mentioning, or.
I went to a friend's house for dinner on Friday, and then I was going to go home and have like a quiet evening, quiet rest of the evening, like go to bed at a decent time. But my husband really wanted to go out, so I decided to rally for him. And so I went out and had a pretty late night and kind of remembered why I don't really do that. It was really fun though, but oh my God, I was a wreck on Saturday. We went to bed at like 4, which is just like ridiculous.
Yeah, that's pretty.
Yeah,
we getting too old for that.
Exactly. It's like what was I? But it was really fun. But the next day it was less fun. So I was really happy for the extra hour of sleep. That was great.
Meanwhile, while you were doing that, do you guys hear the screaming baby in the background? Told you.
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah, he's poor guy.
Ooh, that is one happy child.
Yep.
Maybe I should tell a cute story about him. So in the middle of the night, he discovered that, you know, because I sometimes pretend to be sleeping because it quiets him down. And in the middle of the night, he discovered that he says, "I love you, mommy." I have to say it back because, you know, you're kind of a dick if you don't say "I love you too" back to your kid, right? So I was like, "I love you, Zachy. I love you, Zachy." And this went on for an hour before Jay like nudged me and was like, "The more you engage him, the more awake he's gonna be." And I was like, "You're absolutely right." So I tried to ignore it, and he started poking me like, "I love you, mommy. I love you, mommy. I love you, mommy." And I was just like, "I'm asleep. I'm asleep. I'm asleep." And then finally, I was like, "Oh, fine, you asshole." I think I might have said that to him. I was like, "You asshole. You figured out. Like, I can't ignore you if you say that." So, you know, I was like, "I love you too, Zachy." And I was like, "Let's snuggle." And he was like, I love you, bottle, bottle." And I was like, "Shh." So then at some point I turned the tables and I was like, "Go tell daddy that you love daddy." And he was like, "I love you, daddy-o, I love you, daddy-o." And Jay was like, "Fuck you." And I was like, "Ha ha ha, the tables have turned." And that lasted
for I'm asleep.
Yeah.
Did you tell him, "Hey, Jay, the more you engage him, the more..."
I should have, but I was too busy laughing at the fact that he had to break character. So anyway, that was good times. But I guess, yeah, so that was my story. So we talked last week about early voting and whatnot. And I did some research on that, at least within North Carolina, because I was really curious. Early voting in North Carolina lasted from October 20th until November 5th. That's kind of a long time, right? Like, that was a good 16 days or something like that. I looked it up, and we have no excuse early voting and no excuse absentee voting. So we actually do have both.
Nice.
I just kind of looked that up. And we had this whole controversy with like the voter ID laws and everything. Voter ID was found racially discriminatory back on July 29th of this past year by the United States Appeals for the Fourth Circuit. So I don't know. I was just reading about our voting laws, which if you guys want to, you can go to ballotpedia.org and you can pretty much look up any state's voting laws. So, yeah. But there was something in here that, of course, I highlighted before and lost it. But I noticed that there's a lot of states actually that have early voting now, more than I was surprised.
So they were actually saying
states and D.C. permit early voting. Yeah.
Nice.
So,
They were saying actually on the news just now that like the reason that Hillary was in Pennsylvania tonight, and then I guess Trump was in Michigan earlier, is because those are two states that don't really have early voting. So it was an interesting strategic move.
Actually, as we're recording, in about 24 minutes from now, Hillary is having her last rally of the night about 5 miles from my house at NC State.
Oh, that's awesome.
So, yeah. So maybe cool.
Just open the window and see if you could hear anything.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean,
five miles, sound carries.
Yeah, I don't know. That would have been pretty cool to go to. But based on how exhausted I am now, and we're still 23 minutes away from it even starting, I don't know how long I would have loved it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no.
But anyway, yeah. So it's just kind of crazy living in a swing state where, like, your vote actually matters. Like, growing up in New York, I feel like, you know, every vote matters because the votes that, you know, make the majority. If all those people stop voting, the ones that, you know, make the minority, they still like have their say or whatever. It's just cool living in a state that is actually a state that, you know, people are
could
paying attention to.
Yeah.
Yeah. There were no rallies here. I didn't get to go to any rallies.
There was a Trump rally here, apparently, and also an anti-Trump rally. But I missed the whole thing. Thank God.
But all the rallies are kind of exciting, except for the traffic. That fucking sucks.
Yeah.
So,
no thanks.
But anyways, ding. I'm trying to think. Do we have much more to get into before we start the actual show? I feel like we're on a much quicker pace this week. That may or may not be because we started 2 hours later than usual.
It's fair. It's like, nothing exciting happened. Moved on. Yeah. Move on. Everything.
Nothing exciting really did happen for me, at least over the weekend. So, have you guys voted already, or are you voting tomorrow?
No, I'm voting tomorrow/2 days ago, yesterday, whatever day.
Getting up early and going to the polls.
Nice. Yeah, there's something just exciting about that.
Yeah, I always vote. Like, I get an absentee ballot, but systematically every single election, like, I physically take it to my polling place on election day. Because I kind of like just going there. But I like to have the ballot, you know, beforehand.
Oh, yeah. I discovered, what was it, Find My Ballot or Show My Ballot, the website where you can go and you can see everything that's on the ballot in your district. So it's not just the president, but it's like all the down ballot stuff.
Yeah.
So I looked that up this morning and I did my homework so that I know who else in my district I need to vote for. So I'm not just eeny, miny, mowing it.
Yeah. Oh, I get to vote for things like condom rules in the porn industry.
I want to live in California just because you guys have such fun things to vote about.
It was awesome. I was looking at all this stuff.
We don't get any of that fun stuff.
Right. Once upon a time, the exciting to vote for was like pot. Now you guys get like...
I get to vote for that too.
I know. Nick told me.
I get to vote for pot. I get to vote for no more plastic bags. I get to vote for the condom thing.
Nick, your podcast.
I get to vote... I get to vote to repeal the death penalty in California.
Oh, good.
It's a good year. It's a really good year.
Man, I'm jealous.
I'm excited.
I kind of want to sing Tori Amos now, a pretty good year. I'm just saying. Every time anybody talks about like how good the year was, I was like, a pretty good year. I wish I could play the piano. I'd be so awesome at it and songwriting if I could play piano.
Yep, in my downtime.
Yeah. I believe, was it Tim that changed the name? Tim changed the name of the group chat to I Voted for Trump for the Married Man.
Are you fucking kidding me? Oh, that's because of the last message I sent him.
Oh, okay. I haven't. Privately or in the group? Because I haven't caught up on
that. In the group.
Anyway, neither here nor there. It may matter, it may not. I mean, we'll find out, / we found out a few days ago.
Mm-hmm. Coming to you from the future.
From the future.
Yeah.
So we had, I guess let's just jump into some of this feedback because we had a lot of stuff. Before we do, though, I kind of have a little bit of a silly article. And I feel like Amanda's probably already heard of this because
nice.
this is a few weeks old, but I kind of really...
Because I love silly things. Ooh,
it's
sorry.
Kind of silly. So this is from October 25th, and the headline goes, Noel Gallagher spent years moving furniture around to make Liam believe in ghosts. Okay, I'm really glad you laughed. I know, right?
Oh, that's so good.
Yeah. I know. I know.
Oh, they were such assholes to each other.
They
of course
really were.
That's something that would happen.
Well, like the quoted, you know, the little quote that like captions the article or whatever is, he'd go and have his breakfast. Someone would go into his bedroom and turn the pictures back to front or fucking move a lamp. He was like hiring people to go in there and like make him think that he had a ghost. So,
oh, that's so great.
I know. Isn't that great? Do I really need to read the article? Because
no, that was enough. That was so good. Mm-hmm. That made my day. Yeah. I didn't even laugh that hard.
Yep.
All day.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So all right. Good. I'm glad that I could. I told you this was going to be something that didn't have a whole lot of.
Nice.
Discussion.
Nice. Oh, I have another cute little thing that I came across while I was waiting for us to record. So the New York City Marathon was yesterday, and Jonathan Menendez is believed to be the oldest unofficial finisher in the marathon's history, crossing the finish line in 11 hours and 23 minutes. He's a World War II vet. He's 96 years old.
Holy shit.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. He still won't explain exactly why he's doing this, why for the past 11 hours and 20 minutes this 96-year-old man has been running. Well, not so much running as tottering 26.19 miles through all five city boroughs. Yeah, he was a bomber pilot in the Marines during World War II, and he still walks 2 miles around Central Park's reservoir every morning at 7:30 a.m. and drinks
hero.
A scotch every afternoon at 4 p.m.
Hero.
I know. He's my hero, too.
Damn. That's
but yeah,
awesome.
I just thought that was really great that he's still kicking it. He's an unofficial finisher because I think you have to finish
probably
it
like 6 hours.
A certain amount of time to be considered.
6 or 7, I think,
Don't
but
put
hey.
Label on that. Asshole.
But
they have
man's
to sleep
96.
At some point.
Yeah.
He's a Marine. He fought for our country. Yeah. I was like, I salute you, sir. And the fact that he has a scotch every day at 4 o'clock. I like that that is part of his daily routine.
Oh my God. I would have if I were him, I had a scotch at 4, 5, 6, 7, and then fall asleep by 7:30. That's my ideal married old person life.
Nice.
Right, not old person life, but you know, like retired life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it is now whiskey season. It's dipped below 50 degrees. It's officially whiskey season.
Whiskey season is all season for me. I love me some whiskey.
Oh, no. I do. I'm gin in the summer. I'm whiskey in the winter.
Mm. Whiskey in the winter.
I'm like, I'm like a snowbird of alcohols.
I'm an equal opportunity alcohol.
Well, I mean, if there was a delicious whiskey drink in the summer, I wouldn't turn it away. But I definitely drink more whiskey in the winter. It's just calming and warming and delicious.
Fair enough. Before we move on, I just want to, because, while I'm thinking about it, I want to thank the patrons. We are part of the Jay and Jack Network. And as such, we benefit from their Patreon. If you go to patreon.com/JanJack, you can support us at some level. If you support us at the $5 or more level, you get into an exclusive Facebook group, which we're all at and having a lot of fun at. But regardless, you can go on Twitter, Facebook, pretty much anywhere, and hashtag I'm with hers. That's with an S. And we will see that and know about that. But we are currently at $912 a month. And the $1,000 level goal is a live Married Man broadcast crossover. So please tell all your friends. We just need to get... Woo! I don't know what that was, but...
That was me smacking my wine glass, which then smacked into my water glass.
Oh, so... Ooh, that was our version of a gong. Wine.
Let's see if I can recreate it. Nope. Can't.
You'll never get
it.
That again.
Yeah, no, it was a special moment.
Regardless, if you guys get 900, so that's 88 more friends to donate $1 each. then we can get to that $1,000 a month level. Or I'm sure there's easier math. But yeah, if you'd like to, actually, a new thing that we have going, we've got, is if you go to janjack.com/iTunes, you can get redirected. And we're working on an Android page, but you can get redirected to iTunes, and it's the Jay and Jack provider page, and it will give you every single podcast that Jay and Jack has had that's been on iTunes. This does not include the stuff that was on the Plus feed. If you want to see the Plus feed still, that's $15 subscription level, and you'll get access to all of those archives. But if you want your one-stop shop for all things Jay and Jack via iTunes, whether you want to leave us a review, hint, hint, or just check out all the different cool artwork that Jacob has done, or just in general see what we've got, you go to jayandjack.com/iTunes, and it will redirect you to it in iTunes. But thank you to everybody that is so far a patron. We really appreciate it. And today, 3 days ago, was Patreon payday, so Amanda's, you know, going to go to therapy, guys. It's going to be great.
Yay.
But speaking of reviews, we had a really awesome review this last week from Rebecca. And all three of us read it, and all three of us were very touched by it. So we just kind of wanted to share it with you guys. This is, does anybody want to read it, or you want me to?
I can do it.
Yes, somebody else do it.
Whoever. I just don't have it up, so I don't.
That's what she said.
Well, I've got it up.
Okay, if you've got it up, Shandy, bring it my way. Think of
I'm Ken. Up and ready.
Think of Ken; he'll get you there, and I'll reset you up. We got a. And speaking of iTunes reviews, we actually got a great review this past week from Rebecca. Take it away, Shandy.
All right. So Rebecca says, as a follower of the Jay and Jack podcast for many years, I was really excited to start listening to the broadcast. The show has been in production for several months now, and I have enjoyed every episode. Listening to Colleen, Amanda, and Shandy every week is like hanging out with a couple of friends for a few hours. Sometimes it reflects the silly and absurd conversations you can have with your friends, from squatty potties to wine and Fritos. At other points, the ladies look at more serious topics like deciding to have children, sexual assault, and modern feminism. I enjoy every part of it. If you're looking for three new friends that are a great reflection on the many challenges that women and men face today, look no further. For men and women alike, this is a great podcast.
I love this review. We've gotten some really great reviews lately.
Yeah.
So thank you so much, Rebecca.
Yeah.
Totally made my day.
Me too.
Yeah, me too.
Thumbs up. Sounds good.
All righty then. Let's get into some of our feedback from our last episode. I nominate one of you guys. I have the document up, but I see Amanda also has the document up. So
I do.
Everyone's got it up.
Oh, everybody. All right, so let's get into some of our feedback from our last episode.
Yes. So the first one is from Selena. And I think it was from two episodes ago. I haven't even finished listening yet, but I had to stop and say that Amanda's pronunciation of avid made my day. I am constantly corrected by people who want it to be avid or avid. Yeah. Avid like David, but I refuse to give in to peer pressure. That is all. And my response to that was, I don't know what they're talking about. I have only ever heard it referred to as avid, as someone who works in the industry, so to speak. Yeah, it's avid. So whoever is correcting you is incorrect.
The next one is from Sink Pisser Jones. God, I love this title. I hate that I've never said that before and I'm jealous with whomever came up with it, which was hysterical because our title that he's talking about was Rock, Paper, Scissoring, and he came up with it in a Facebook comment. Good job, Sink Pisser.
Yes. He got us halfway there.
He got us halfway there, but we finished it ourselves. Yeah, yeah, we finished it.
That happens sometimes.
Yeah, we did the scissoring. He did the rock papering. Oh. Greg says, to be fair, almond joy is not good. I think coconut is gross. I agree with you. Coconut flavored things are gross.
Except my awesome chocolate covered coconut truffles that I make, I won't be sending to you guys for Christmas. Yes, whatever.
Please do not send us coconut truffles for Christmas. Yeah.
They're delicious. So
I'll take chocolate truffles.
I'll take mint chocolate truffles or Reese's chocolate truffles, but not.
I make those too. I make those too with creme de menthe. It's very good.
All right, well, send that shit my way.
The coconut, though, man, it's good.
It's like I'm not usually a texture eater, but it's just like these like little filaments in your mouth. It's not.
Oh, it's the best. Oh, it's the best.
All right, so Amanda likes filaments in her mouth, and Shandy doesn't. I have to agree with Shandy Pants on this one.
Yeah.
Well, all the gin and coconut candy for me.
When you said all the gin, I thought you were going someplace way different.
Gin.
All the gin?
Gin.
No. Keep going. You'll get there.
Dude, where would we have been going?
Go to the end of the alphabet.
Oh! The opposite of gin. There we go.
I still don't get it.
The opposite of China, she said.
I know.
The last. End it with a couple of Z's.
I'm too tired. My brain is not connecting those dots.
You'll get it when you re-listen. Yeah, there you go. Moving on from this Facebook. Somebody else take the next couple. Maybe not Amanda, because her mind seems like it's completely turned off right now.
Yep.
So we had Sing Pisser again asking what other candy can get away with taking one candy bar, adding one almond to it, and rebranding. AJ is pimping. Not that kind of AJ. But cheers. Yes, but if you are a listener of the Married Man Show, you will understand what kind of AJ he's not referring to. Just saying.
It's also called hot dogging.
Oh, God.
It does not involve dogs, although that's quite ironic.
That is ironic. That is incredibly ironic.
Oh, wow. That's hilarious. Oh, Tim. Brian says, there was a guy in high school who kept picking on the freshman class. When confronted by people his own age and size, he would deny it. We finally caught him. We dubbed him Mounds because, quote, almond joys got nut. Mounds don't.
Sweet bird, bro.
Oh, man. I always thought that that was a male versus female kind of connotation.
Nope, not anymore.
Good types.
Sherry says, Colleen, if Zachary wants to be a dinosaur next year, you could do a Jurassic Park family costume.
I don't want to.
But Gregory says you could be cave people and he could be a dinosaur.
These are all very good suggestions.
Yeah.
Wouldn't we be like paleo people, not cave people?
I don't know.
Well, I suppose that's up to you.
Good times. But no, I'm just saying, I don't want to be Jurassic Park. I don't want to be a dinosaur for Halloween.
Okay.
Everybody did Jurassic Park last year.
Little boys are very opinionated. I'm sure he will tell you what he wants to be next year.
Based on the screaming you guys heard for the first 15 minutes of the show, yes, very stubborn and opinionated.
But also, I'm sure there'll be some show or something in the next 12 months, which is like a lifetime for a little kid. So
I'm sure. Change.
Yep.
Sing Pisser also says Shando, and I just want to ask, how the fuck is he addressing me as Shando? How did that get out? I thought that was on lockdown. Have people been saying this on podcasts, Colleen?
Saying what?
Shando.
Yeah, yes, we've totally
been
recording.
I've been calling you Shandy Pants and Shando on podcasts. I don't know, Shandy, since we started this.
Oh, my God. Okay. Yeah.
At least he's calling you Shando and not Shandy Pants.
Actually, I prefer Shandy Pants. That was I had that nickname in high school. Aww. Shando was like a joke nickname that Alice started that has now gotten out of hand.
Oh,
but
I don't know. I mean, I've called you both over the last I don't know, 2 years that we've been podcasting together.
I feel like I have to pretend that I don't like it, but deep down inside, that's whatever. He says,
nickname is a term of endearment. It means you are people care and like you enough to give you a nickname. So.
And the more you resist. The more
you resist, the more they dig in. So,
So he wrote in response to what I was talking about for Stitch Fix. He says, if you're looking for something better, try this place. It's materialworld.co. It's located in Brooklyn, and he's heard nothing but great things.
Are you sure it's not .com?
Yeah, that's a good question. Yeah, co seems
well,
weird.
Well, let's see if that is a link.
Redirecting notice. Yeah, probably .com. Anyway.
No, it's looking like it's loading.
Oh, really?
Yeah. All right.
Yeah, false alarm,
guys. It's materialworld.com. .co.
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 Located in Brooklyn. He's heard good things. It's not try then buy like some other stores. You turn in your old clothes. They add money to a prepaid debit card kind of thing. And you can either shop on their website or in hundreds of other stores like Nordstrom. And did he mention it was a company started by two women? That's cool. I don't have like designer things though to like send them. So
yeah, but well, if once like, you go designer, it's tough to go back.
I did this with like a similar website called ThreadUp, and I don't have like designer clothes. I've you know sort of J. Crew level clothes, and they took a fair amount of my stuff.
Banana Republic for the win.
Man, yeah. I don't know if I even have J. Crew level stuff.
I think I had one. Like I had like a designer like Michael Kors. Blazer I'd gotten at a Buffalo Exchange like years ago, and it wasn't my style anymore.
Uh-huh.
So I think I got the most money out of that, but they took a fair amount of my stuff. I think they took some really Forever 21 stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, all
that
right.
was just like really like barely worn. So it depends.
Yeah.
Wait, depends they took Forever 21 and considered it to be like designer stuff?
Well, not this site. ThreadUp was the site that I used, but it's the same concept of like you said, clothes. It's consignment online. Yeah.
Okay.
Well, the nice thing about ThreadUp at least is that they send you email updates. Like they prepay you for things that they're going to sell, then they donate whatever things they're not going to take. So they don't have to deal with like them sending it back.
Nice.
You can just say like you feel free to donate these wherever else if you're not going to take them. But then they send you updates of like this prepaid thing that we took from you sold, or so you can kind of follow along. So that was kind of exciting.
Nice. Very cool. All right. Well, and Dennis also wrote in, he thought at least one of us would have heard of Heloise.
I mean, I still don't know what that is.
One of the most famous columnists of all time, and it's www.heloise or Eloise, but with an H.com. So, yeah, I'm sorry, Dennis, but I had not.
But when I went,
I'm still on. I'm on the website right now, and I have no idea who this lady is.
It's all kind of advice stuff, right?
Yeah, when it comes to advice columnists, I'm much more familiar with like Dan Savage.
Okay, I was going to say, isn't this where you plug? This is kind of just like the a different version of your Cheryl, what's her face?
Cheryl's trade. I almost said her, and then I was like, oh, I talk about her too much.
I don't know. That kind of reminded me of that.
Dan Savage first
different
foremost.
Topic, yeah.
Anyway, I'll check her out. Right. What I really want to know is, do you pronounce the H or not? That's what I want to know.
Inquiring minds, Dennis. Mm-hmm. Let us know. Also, Shandy is going to come to Raleigh for the Autism Speaks / whatever charity podcast that we do in the spring. And she is going to own your ass in Cards Against Humanity. I'm just letting you know that right now. Shandy,
when does this take place?
I come?
Absolutely.
What the hell?
Absolutely. I just was trash talking in Shandy's name.
I was like, I like Cards Against Humanity. Like you guys.
Oh, every year for the charity podcast, we have an epic Cards Against Humanity game. And every year, Dennis, for the last 3 years, Jay? 3 years, has won.
Wow.
It's like.
Well, it's hard. You have to know. No, but you have to know people's senses of humor in order to win those kinds of games. And if I don't really know anyone.
It's subjective.
Yes.
You got to know how far you can push it with people.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I've just been corrected that he did actually tie with Connie this year, Coach Hill's wife. But that was the first time that he got close to being taken down. But yeah, it's on. Everybody come to Raleigh in the spring.
When in the spring?
Well, we generally time it with the Game of Thrones premiere because we have a live Game of Thrones with Jay, Jack, and Nick afterwards. Shandy is especially going to be there now. Oh!
When is this?
Well, it's usually in April.
It's
usually in April, but this year it might be a little bit later because Game of Thrones is going to premiere.
Oh, that's
later.
Right. Good, because I'm running a marathon in April. So
you are running a marathon.
Girls
in April.
Got shit to do,
right? Yeah.
The only catch is if it starts like super later, it might coincide with Zach's birthday, and we don't want that because it's not gonna happen. But
when's his birthday?
June 13th.
Okay.
I don't think it's going to be that late. They need to film, I guess, later than usual this upcoming season. So the premiere is going to be later than usual. But
right.
Whatever, we'll figure
heard
it
about
out.
That. And okay, so I was looking at tickets. It's like in the $400. So hey, if maybe if people want to become patrons, I can come to Raleigh.
Nikki, can you hear me? Help Shandy meet her podcasting crush.
No. Help me meet all the wonderful listeners.
Yeah.
And also my podcasting pals. Like, I haven't ever met any of you guys.
Yeah, Amanda's going to take the train down or something. Actually, Amanda, you could drive down with Rob.
Is there a train?
It's an Amtrak, but it's like 10 hours. You can sleep on it, but, you know, whatever.
I don't know. I've always wanted to take a sleeper train. It sounds kind of romantic.
I've done that. It was fun, but you could also Rob and Mike drive down every year, so you could always hitch a ride with them. Rob.
Oh, that'd be fun.
Yeah. Good times. All right, we can figure that out, you know, in 6 months from now when it actually
offline.
Happens.
What happened to this thing about timing ourselves?
Let's move on to our main event of the evening, and that is I found an article that might be good for everybody yesterday, depending on who you voted for and who won. But
regardless, I don't think it matters.
Yes. Put a bookmark
in this. Whether it's celebratory or drowning your sorrows.
This is 14 Hangover Cures and Remedies. And I actually have read through this article. And some of them are just as fucking weird as you would think. And then some of them make sense.
All right.
All right. So the first one is cactus extract.
Hmm. And where does one come about this?
You go and you get a cactus and you milk it.
You milk a cactus.
That sounds slightly pervy.
Oh. But,
yeah, dude.
Milk a cactus. No. Right. You can just take the supplement. Did you just give me a cactus supplement? Oh, Jay just handed me a cough drop, but when you handed it to me, as I said, cactus extract. So I got very confused, like I was getting a cactus extract.
Or you just ask your husband for it, and it magically appears. The cactus extract presents itself to those that are willing and in need.
No, take it 2 hours before drinking, 5 to 10
That's
drinks.
That's what she said.
That's what she said. So if you're going to drink 5 to 10 drinks, take it 2 hours before drinking, and you're 50% less likely to experience severe hangover symptoms.
Nice.
Yep. And I'm pretty sure this is something you can buy in a store, like, you know, a health store. Number two is green juice smoothie.
And what's in that?
Key ingredients include apple, lemon, including the peel, celery, parsley, mint, and ginger. The person that they interviewed also throws in a handful of kale and spinach. In addition to squelching nausea with ginger, the concoction has anti-inflammatory, antihistamine, vasodilation, and antioxidant properties. With vitamin B, courtesy of the kale, this sweet and spicy green juice offers a big lift out of the mud.
Nice.
I'll be convinced when I try it, I guess.
I don't like ginger in smoothies, though. It's like too much for me. I'd rather just put it in like a stir fry.
Yeah.
Sometimes ginger tea is okay, but it's a little too much.
Yeah. It is a little much. And honestly, smoothies in general, like,
I love smoothies.
Aside from alcohol, I prefer to eat my calories. I don't want to do it in smoothie form. No.
I do it like if I'm running late, like tomorrow to go vote, I think I'm going to make a smoothie in the morning and take it with me. But yeah, usually I'm with you. I'd rather just, I like kale. I think it's delicious. I'd rather just chew it. I don't need to pulverize it into a juice.
Hmm. Oh, kale? Kale is best in a juice. I think everybody else would agree with me that kale is best in a juice.
Oh, no. You got to saute it with like a little salt, pepper, and some coriander and some shallots, so good.
No, put it in a juice where you don't have to taste it. Next, number three is vitamin B complex. This is pretty self-explanatory. It helps your body metabolize alcohol faster. Number four is coconut water. Hydration and potassium, these two may be your new best friends when it comes to recovering from a big night out. Rehydrating is key to conquering a hangover. And potassium can be lost with frequent urination and the unfortunate situation of vomiting. Coconut water is both hydrating and high in potassium. It's high in potassium.
It's also loaded with sugar.
Mm-hmm. You could also eat a banana.
This cough drop is making it hard for me to read. It's also easier on your stomach than other more acidic options like orange juice. Number four is milk thistle. Alcoholic binges create a cascade of symptoms ranging from headaches to nausea to racing heart, sweating, muscle soreness, and more, depending on who's drinking and who's doing the drinking and how.
And
blah, 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 blah. A lot of really technical terms. The workhorse ingredient in milk thistle is Silmarin, which I really want to say Slytherin, but I didn't, which is extracted from the seeds of the plant and easily found in tablets or capsule form. And I guess this just helps aid in liver function and wards off the toxins. Number five, everybody's least favorite, a.k.a. mine, ginger. And I've heard this before, actually, that ginger helps, like, coat your stomach.
Yeah, it's very good for digestion.
Yeah, for digestion. It soothes the stomach, rather. So that's number five. Number whoa, this goes from number five to number seven. Okay, well, there's a missing one. Ooh. We'll never know. And that is coffee. Okay,
what?
I have been hungover a lot of times.
No.
And I have drank a lot of coffee while hungover. And all I have
it dehydrates you.
Well, they're saying that...
Well, it's a diuretic.
I love
some
coffee, but...
But it's a diuretic, so maybe it helps, like, just clear you out.
But that still kind of helps.
But the cough, like, you just need water. You need water.
It says.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just trying to rationalize here.
Yeah.
Yeah. This one kind of feels like a cheating one. If you're already a coffee enthusiast, this might be okay after all. Since you might experience a massive headache from skipping your morning caffeine. But if a cup of joe isn't part of your daily regimen, skip it. Coffee is a natural diuretic and could leave you feeling worse. So why even put it in here? Whatever, let's skip
that.
It's
very strange.
Number eight is something called.
They need to fill out the list.
Yeah, coffee is the best part of the day for sure. But
that is true.
It's not really what I crave if I'm
Number eight is called Lights Show. LYTESHOW. The dehydrating effects of alcohol can ultimately lead to an electrolyte imbalance. I gotta take a thing out of my mouth.
Imbalance? Embarrassed.
This is like an amazing cough drop right now. It's
very
like,
embarrassed.
This cough drop is bringing me to places, but I have to take it out of my mouth because I can't. Like, I haven't felt this good since I had a Ricola this afternoon. And this is not a Ricola. I don't know what the fuck this is, but it's amazing.
You could isolate so many of those little sound bites. And very funny.
Oh, look, I just took a deep breath in and didn't choke myself to death. So clearly it's working.
Oh, that's good.
Thanks.
Yeah, that's good.
All right. So Lights Show, the dehydrating effects of alcohol can ultimately lead to an electrolyte imbalance. So rehydrating with an electrolyte enhanced drink works faster than just water alone. So why don't they just say to drink some fucking Gatorade?
Yeah. And water.
Because they're not sponsored by Gatorade.
Yeah.
Right.
Number nine is eggs. You might crave a big, greasy breakfast the next morning, but forget the bacon and home fries and just stick with the eggs. Fuck you. I'll never forget the bacon.
No.
Fuck you.
You need massive food.
I don't need the bacon. So bring out the potatoes and the eggs. That's all I need.
Oh, I would eat just the bacon. Eggs are high in an amino acid called cysteine, which helps your liver get rid of a toxin that's a byproduct of alcohol, and eggs are easy on the stomach. Your body will thank you after a hard night. I don't know, Amanda. Do you remember that time I threw up at Allison's house after drinking, and then we had eggs, and I still didn't feel good?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I do remember that.
That was awful and amazing. It was a really fun night. Number 10.
That was a really fun night.
It was a great night. We went to Marquee, right?
Yep.
Aww.
That was the night of the Cheesecake Factory. Apparently, now that we know, it was a vision. You had a vision into the future.
I did.
just, the Cheesecake Factory.
It needed 10 years to be fulfilled.
Yeah. You know, prophecies take a long time.
Yeah, that's what makes them so great. Number 10 is miso soup. Thanks to the water and salt content, the water rehydrates your body and the sodium helps your body hold on to the water. That's smart.
Yep.
Miso is also made from fermented soybeans, and fermented foods help keep your gut healthy, something your stomach could use after some heavy drinking. Number 11 is water. That is pretty much self-explanatory.
Shouldn't that be number one?
Yeah.
Number 12 is Fix. And this looks like a all-natural cocktail fortified that can be added to mixed drinks that can... it looks like it's a carbonated drink that can be added to mixed drinks to help prevent hangovers before they even start. They include the liver-calming milk thistle, digestion-aiding dandelion extract, nausea-calming ginger root, electrolytes, sodium, and potassium, a vitamin B complex that aids in alcohol detoxification, and amino acids that aid in liver detoxification. So essentially, this drink is all of the previous 11 things mixed into one. Number 13 is something called a blowfish tablet. I don't even want to get into that, but that's what it is. It's got caffeine and aspirin, so there's that. Thrust. Number 14 is bananas. Bananas are a part of the BRAT diet, which is bananas, rice, applesauce, and toast, which can help relieve an upset stomach. Bananas are bland, making them easy on the gut, and they're high in potassium, which you can lose through excess urinating and vomiting. Okay. Bananas, yay. Asparagus is number 15. Did we just skip again? 14 to 15? Okay, we did not. I thought we did. I still want to know what number 6 was. I feel gypped. Asparagus. If you're making eggs in the morning, throw in some chopped asparagus. Although these green stalks will give your urine an off odor, they will also help protect your liver from toxins associated with alcohol consumption and alleviate that icky hangover feeling. I like asparagus. That's good to know.
It's delicious.
It's number delicious. 17 is... Okay, first of all, this was... The link says 14 hangover cures and remedies. Now it's 17 hangover cures and remedies. I don't know which one it is, but we're on 17, so I'm guessing this is the last one. And that's Korean pear juice, which is used to prevent getting a hangover in the first place. Drinking this pear juice can help with trouble concentrating, and it may help metabolize alcohol. So pick that up. Wait, number 16. I knew we skipped something. Okay, so we went from 15 to 17 to 16. I wonder if number 6 is going to be next. Oh my God, I'm so excited to find out. I would cheat, but I won't. Pedialyte is number 16. Again, I'm not going to say anything else. It's child's version of Gatorade. There's still not a number 6. All right, if you know the missing number 6... Please. And of course, the best way to avoid a hangover is to not drink too much.
But that's not fun.
All right. I think on that note, this PSA is done. And we should get into some feedback and close this shit out.
Before we do that, I just wanted to say I really love that we've now gone over the best hangover cures, but have yet to talk about the health benefits of alcohol. But
we keep not having time for that.
Yeah, no, I don't think we're going to have time this week. We have a lot of feedback.
We really do. All right.
Next week.
Yeah.
I'm going to read Andre's because I was around when this email was sent into the Married Man show, and I remember it. So this is from Andre. Hi, ladies. I sent this email into the Married Man show 4 years ago. Thought I'd run it by you given the ass-munching conversation you had last week, a couple weeks ago. Thanks. And this is forwarded to us from November 19th, 2012. So literally almost 4 years to the day.
Shoo.
Subject is a-hole. Hi, guys. I have a question about what I want to do in bed. My girlfriend enjoys getting oral sex from me, and I enjoy giving it to her. Lately, while doing my carpet munching, I've noticed her anus a lot. I am really tempted to either lick it or put my finger in it. But I'm afraid what might happen if I do. if she doesn't like it. Should I ask her about it when we're not having sex? Or should I just go ahead and do a sneak attack? Andre.
Oh, the dramatic reading.
Thank you. The broadcast players need to get back in business.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. Somebody start this. I'm going to pour my glass of wine here, and I nominate Shanty Pants.
Yeah.
And answer like you're talking to Nick. No, I'm just kidding. Just answer normally.
Dude!
Hashtag, I don't know.
Hashtag too much. You never want to go with a sneak attack. It's never a good idea.
One might even say that if she doesn't want it, it's rape.
Exactly. Hmm. That's why you avoid the sneak attack. You threw out there two options. You could either talk to her about it while you're not having sex, or just go ahead and do it without discussing it as a sneak attack. Go with option one. Always go with option one. Talk about when you're not banging, talk about what you like to do when you're banging. And then you'll have an idea when you actually are banging. But yeah, no. Unless, like, in the moment she says,
What about option three?
What's option three?
Well, yeah.
I think that you're about to get to it, but, like, in the moment, what if you're like, ooh, can I try this? Like,
sure, you can talk about it in the moment, but in the moment too, she might feel.
And if she says no, she has to.
Or just like confused, caught off guard, take her out of the moment.
If she feels like she has to, they've been in a long term relationship at this point. This is from 4 years ago. If he's still in the, if with the same girlfriend, I feel like if I've been with somebody long enough, I'm not going to feel that pressure to say yes, like in the moment.
Yeah.
Or, that's a better option to do a little quid pro quo. So just be prepared for whatever her counteroffer might be.
Well, and actually, this is very interesting. And this sort of ties into a question that I asked of the married men, who I think hopefully they'll be answering it this week. Would you want her to do a sneak attack on your anus? Because I think we have this idea that, like, in a heterosexual relationship, it's always the female who's penetrated. But, like, turns out, you know, dudes have a prostate. So it actually might be very enjoyable for you if she did. But would you want her to do a sneak attack? Probably not.
Also, can you let us know if she actually has sneak attacked you in the last almost 4 years today? Because I would love to hear that. I remember when this email was asked. Just so.
Yeah.
We had a thing of feedback from Nick that I forgot to read during the Facebook feedback part. And this was about the Outlander book series. And he said, I haven't read it, but from what my sister and Jenna's another podcast friend. What my sister and Jenna have told me, the first book is really entertaining, but extremely historically inaccurate. After the success of the first book, the author got paranoid about criticisms of historical liberties taken and made book two a little too in-depth and drawn out with history. But after that, found a good balance. So I guess we'll keep that in mind. All right. So we have a couple things more of feedback. But first, we're going to take a pee break and possibly an ad break. So stay tuned.
All right. So we are back from our pee/ beer break / ad break, potential ad break. And we are going to finish this episode strong with an email and a voicemail from two of our favorite contributors, John and Maggie. Also, I'm now drinking Two Buck Chuck. So,
yes.
It's left over from the charity thing I did last Thursday.
Nothing wrong with
nice.
That.
Yeah.
Nice, yeah.
Let's start with an email from John.
All right. John says, good evening, ladies. It dawned on me that I never properly followed up with you from my last email about only having eyes for one person while in a relationship.
That was 2 months ago.
To clarify, yes, when I'm dating someone, I don't look at other people in a sexual way. I can still notice if a woman is pretty and all that, but my thoughts don't go beyond that in the way they might if I was single. To me, I would think that any girl I was with would appreciate this, knowing that I was completely happy with her and not drooling over every attractive woman I see on the street. Again, for me, it comes back to the concept of if you're truly happy at home, Your eyes aren't wandering, are wondering, but I like wandering, so I'm going to stick with my interpretation of the email. You three talked about...
If you say
about...
that sentence again, I'll make your mistake a blooper.
Okay.
Why the fuck not? We've been really good this episode. Nobody's shit-faced. Nobody's slurring. Nobody's going off topic. You guys got to throw me something here.
There's some stuff in there. If you take it, if you just cut it.
I think I'm going to be the star of the bloopers again this week.
You were the star last week, dude.
I know I was. I was having a rough time at life. And that just struggle continues. Beep, beep, drive in the struggle bus. Again, for me, it comes back to the concept that if you're truly happy at home, your eyes aren't wandering. You three talked about how it's normal to have crushes on other people while in relationships, but as someone who doesn't seem to share that reaction, it would be really difficult for me to hear that from a significant other because she's the only person I would be thinking about, and hearing such a thing would make me feel incredibly inadequate. So, what are your thoughts? How should I deal with this? Do I worry this could impact future relationships, but I'm not sure there's a clear solution. Thanks, John.
I think you're right about your eyes aren't wandering. But I just wonder.
Yeah. Wandering. You know, you do you.
Or but don't. Yeah. I mean, if you doing you is not working out like this, maybe don't do you.
Yeah. Yeah. But I think, you know, John, you're getting to the ultimate point, I think, at the end of your email, that it is going to potentially pose a problem in future relationships that I don't necessarily think that most women or other people would subscribe to that. And, you know, again, you do you, like, that's a noble thing to not have eyes for someone else. But I think that's a really high standard to hold anyone else to. And I think that's really hard to set someone else up for inevitable failure and disappointing you.
Oh, Shani, you want to go?
Sure, unless you want to go.
I had something just real quick.
No, yeah. You go.
After you, madame.
Oh, wee wee. I just, you say that it's not that you don't notice if another girl is pretty or not. Like, that's in some way that is kind of like your eyes wandering or whatever. Like, just because you're not, you know, going, oh, that girl is pretty, I want to fuck her, that doesn't mean that you're not saying, you know, looking at her differently. It just because you're not having specific thoughts. I just kind of want to point that out. But I think that when you say it would be really difficult for me to hear from a significant other that they would have a crush on somebody else, I think you kind of maybe misinterpret what we're saying by like having a crush. Like, there's a difference between having a crush on somebody while you're in a relationship with somebody else and having a crush on the level that like you would act on that crush, so to speak, I guess. And I don't think that you should feel inadequate. You should actually feel maybe somewhat special that she feels intimate enough with you to joke around or mention, you know, oh, that person's really hot. Maybe just approach it from a different way. It just kind of sounds like when you say things like that, you know, it is a self-esteem issue more so than anything else.
Yeah, that's exactly where I was going to come at this.
Oh, I was hoping you'd say that's exactly where I was going to go, but you knew I was going to.
I don't know if coming at this is any better. I think that John actually maybe unwittingly gets to the heart of the matter towards the end when he talks about feeling inadequate, that this would make him feel inadequate. And I think that it comes down to, like you're saying, Colleen, a feeling of like self-esteem and security in your own relationship. And so if you have that, then it doesn't have to be like this weird thing. Like we've talked about before, like you can't, like, first of all, monogamy is not natural. So like, that's a choice that you're making every day. And it's not like the whole world becomes, you know, disgustingly ugly as soon as you're with someone. It's just normal to still notice other people. And I think, I mean, I know so many couples that, like, you know, have space to have crushes on people. And, like, I mean, like, my husband and I will talk about people all the time that we think are attractive, or, like, compare notes. And, like, it's fun. It's like this thing that we do together that we're kind of in on. So it doesn't have to be like this weird thing, but it's just normal. Of course, like, I still have eyes. I'm gonna, you know, I'm going to notice people. And if my husband notices other people, like, it doesn't make me feel inadequate, because I know that he loves me and I feel secure in that. And so I think that, I don't know, it, if I don't, I think jealousy is like probably the worst human emotion. And I think that it's something that is like natural, I guess, but like not desirable. And I think that you can work, you can actively work to not be a jealous person. And I think that being sort of like having high self-esteem really goes a long way to helping combat that.
Well, and not even, because high self-esteem is not something that you come to overnight. I mean, I've been seeing a therapist for a while and I still don't have high self-esteem. I'm not going to lie. I have my moments where I'm like more so than I used to, where I think that I'm awesome, but I don't think that the answer to life lies solely in high self-esteem. I think it lies a lot in how to, like you were saying, combat or accept or react to instances where you naturally feel like you're going to be insecure or whatnot. Like you were saying, a relationship where your significant other says, you know, oh, this, you joke about, like, this person's, not even joke about, like, you're honest, like, oh, this person, I find them attractive or whatever. It doesn't have to be some kind of tense, you know, like, deal-breaking point in a relationship. I like how Amanda and I both have our hoodies up right now. clearly, we are in the East Coast.
Word.
I'm, like, super hot. Actually,
I know, and Shandy's, like, fucking naked right now.
If you call being in a t-shirt naked.
Yeah. We're a week ago. Yeah. Oh! Pussy grips back.
Not just any t-shirt.
Yeah.
Oh, so good.
No, I'm just saying, like, I think that, like, if your significant other doesn't really give you any reason, like, all the time, like, I think that it's, you could say, oh, I think this person's this, I think this person's that, and that actually might make it better than keeping it deep down inside, like a shameful kind of thing.
Well, and that was the point I was going to make. That,
oh, go for it, Amanda.
I think it's more telling and unnerving and challenging if your significant other doesn't tell you about the people they find attractive. Because then it becomes this shameful thing that they're keeping from you.
Yep.
If they're telling you, it's not a shameful thing and they're never going to act on it. It's just a thing.
Right, and we don't mean this as a blanket statement.
No, no, yeah.
Just, like, to the extreme, if you know, it's a lot more unnerving when your partner doesn't want to share that with you, because then that means that they might think that there's something going on that might hurt your feelings or might make you feel threatened, or they've got other intentions. Like, that's kind of when, I don't mean like your red flags have to go up, but maybe the yellow flag has to go up or something.
Should kick in.
Yeah, spidey sense. Not like something is wrong, but just, oh, that's weird. Like, this isn't right. Like, maybe there should be more communication going on right now or something.
Yeah, so, well, and I mean, really, like, what does that say? I mean, I guess I was talking about self-esteem, but also about security in your relationship, the kind of relationship that you have. Like, what does that say if you are so insecure in your relationship that you can't even tell your partner, admit to your partner, like, oh yeah, that smoking hot chick that I just saw walking down the street, like, yes, obviously I find her attractive. Like, yeah, right. Or like,
it doesn't mean that whatever. Your partner wants you to be like that smoking hot chick. It just means that they find that person attractive.
Right. And that doesn't take away, I feel like there's also this sort of like sense of competition a lot of times. It's not like the one doesn't erase the other. So just because your partner might like have eyes and realize that somebody else is also attractive, like, it doesn't take away from your own attractiveness. to them.
Absolutely.
No, and theoretically, they're not just with you because you're attractive.
In addition, right. Yeah, exactly. Great point.
You know, that's not the only thing you theoretically you got going for you.
Yes! Thank you, Amanda. Yes. Why is it that Shandy and I always get lost in the detail and you're like, well, actually, motherfuckers, you guys are missing the big point.
Yes. But I mean, you could apply that, I think, broadly, though, too. Like, just because you think a certain dude is funny, like, you know, or you, like, you find qualities in him, that doesn't mean that those are taken away from your partner.
Yeah. Okay, let's put this in terms that John might understand. Alice finds Taylor from Survivor currently very attractive. Paul knows this. She has said it on a podcast, The Tribe. And he probably doesn't feel threatened. And that's not because he's, you know, she's probably never going to meet Taylor. It's just, oh, he's
it's
hot.
It's a fun
he's
thing. Attractive. Yeah.
Like, it's a fun kind of thing to, like, have. And also, you could totally, totally make that into some kind of, like, sexual thing if you really want to.
Uh-huh.
I don't want to delve into Alice and Paul's sexual games in the bedroom, so we're
going to
move on from this fairly quickly. But I just, you know, I want to point out, like, that's kind of an example. Like,
oh, absolutely.
It doesn't mean that Paul should feel threatened. And again, that's not because she's never met Taylor. Like, I'm sure, I mean, he seems fairly like that kind of person. If you were a groupie that showed up at any of his viewing parties and were like, oh my God, I think you're hot, he would totally fuck you. So, like, Alice could easily do that. I wherever he's from, it's like the north.
He's from Idaho. Probably. It's like next door. He lives in
Yeah, Spain. Driving distance. So, totally a thing. But she won't. I don't think. Anyway.
No, but you actually, Colleen, you made such a good point about, like, how that sort of energy that, like, you kind of get from the outside world, you can bring it back into your relationship. And
yeah. That
can be, that can add another layer of fun.
Yeah. Well, and it's like, I don't think, you wouldn't say it aloud to make your partner feel inadequate.
No, if you do that, then you're just an asshole. That's like, exactly. That's apples and oranges.
So yeah, and then it all comes back to communication.
Right. Mm-hmm. And then you're likely either not with the right person, or you need to, like, straight up have a fucking talk and be like, okay, why are you saying these things? Like, do we need to get on the same page about something? So it's either one of those two subjects. If or they're just trying to, like, be cutesy intimate. Maybe they feel Maybe your partner feels like by saying things like that she's not getting the feeling from you that you are, like, not attracted to her, but, like, she's not feeling the love from you so much. Because girls want to feel special. Everybody in a relationship wants to feel special at some point. Yeah. The problem here would be that clearly there's two different ways of kind of wanting to feel special. So your love languages aren't meshing up, and she may be even telling you things like, oh, I find this person attractive because she thinks that that is something that's going to make you find her more attractive. Like, oh my God, all these dudes, like, want her. Oh my God, like, she's interested in them and they're, you know.
I totally get it. I was just going to ask. I know you've explained this to me before, but I can't remember. Can you do, like, a crash course
on the
what is it called? The love. I was going to say the love styles. That's not it.
Love languages.
Yes.
It's like a book. Daniel's read it too. He was, like, real into it for a minute.
Yeah. So the love languages, there's five of them. And it's based off a book written by Gary Chapman. And back when this was in our pre-Cana, when Jay and I, you know, wanted to get married in the Catholic Church, but I know that they talk about this, you know, a lot of places. So they are gifts, quality time, words of affirmation, acts of service, and physical touch. And those are essentially the five love languages. Gifts is, you know, getting, it's the way that people view love in general, like the way that you show love. Like, one person could view, like, having sex every day as the ultimate way of showing love, but, you know, somebody else could see it as, you know, acts of service, which is, you know, oh, I do the dishes and do the laundry for you, and, you know, that's my way of showing you how much I love you. And, you know, it's not like a domestic thing or anything. It's just, that's just my example. But, like, yeah. So it's just kind of bringing the way that different people, and it varies from not even varies from man to woman, like, it varies from literally from person to person, doesn't matter, And it's just a way of kind of trying to understand your partner. And we took a quiz, and the quiz at the end of the day kind of showed us which type of people that we were, you know, like gave you.
Is there an online quiz?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure the one that we took was from online, and I will find it and send it to you. Just remind me tonight. I'll find it for you. I'm sure that you can. But yeah, it was very interesting, you know, because mine was kind of at the time, and mine has actually changed a lot since we took this. Like that at the sense. Time, I believe I was more acts of service and quality time, and Jay was words of affirmation and physical touch / receiving gifts. And I would argue now that we actually both talked about this recently, and I think we both have evolved a little bit more, but it's a very cool way to kind of just get a better understanding behind your partner. And I would definitely recommend that to you, John, at some point. And no, it's not a Catholic thing. I just took it in pre-Cana. Just it kind of gets you a better understanding of the mindset and the way that your partner appreciates being shown love. So,
cool.
Does anybody have anything else until we get to Maggie's?
Please move on? It's almost 1 o'clock.
I know. All right, so we have one more thing. We have one more call, and that is from Maggie. So let's get to that, and then we can hopefully call it a night.
Hey, Amanda, Shandy, and Colleen. This is Maggie from Northern Virginia. I'm calling in with some comments about meditation. You guys mentioned in the last episode, I think, with that 30 things to do, or things to do in your 30s for something. Something about meditation, and you guys all kind of said it was very hard. And had tried it, and I have been meditating for, actually, I just realized, because I wrote notes to make this call, because yes, I'm a dork, for 5 years, daily for, I'm on my third year of that, and yes, it is hard. There are still days that I am, my timer needs to ding. Did I turn my timer on? I didn't turn my timer on. I currently meditate for 20 minutes a day, is the goal. Sometimes it doesn't always happen based on different things. My meditation teacher, he calls it practice for a reason. One of them, he calls it practice. Meditation is a practice. You're not going to be very good at it at first. You're just not. The other thing he says is he goes to the gym, you know, to work out his body. Meditation is working out his mind. Meditation is just all about coming back to your breath and noticing feelings and what's coming up. But just, I'm thinking and feeling, time to go back to my breath. Not being like, you stupid, why are you thinking? Your mind is going to think. It's called the monkey mind for a reason. I actually have a really great children's book about. I think it's, what is it? Oh, it's Mindful Panda. I can't remember the other one for the monkey, but it's. You can count your breath when you meditate. Just count up to 10 and then count down and then go back up to 10, you know, if you need something to focus on. My favorite mantra when I struggle, which I still struggle, is when I breathe in, I say, I have arrived. And when I breathe out, I am home. And that just kind of gives me something to sort of think about or something to focus on. When I started very short meditations, minute or two, kind of right before bed. And then I graduated to a daily practice. It took like 2 years. And I found there was a meditation group at my church that met, and that through that, that's actually, there's a meditation retreat, and then I was going to meditation group and seeing benefits. And so that's when I started doing everyday meditation. Let's see, I made a list of apps because there's a ton of them. I think I've tried all of the apps, or not all of the apps, all of these apps. And you just kind of got to find what you like. There's Headspace, there's Meditation Studio, Insight Timer, which is the one I currently use. There's 10% Happier, Simply Being, Stop, Breathe, and Think. And those are just the ones that came up in the Apple Store, App Store, when I Googled meditation. And I have tried them all. Hi guys, it's Maggie again. I knew I was about to get cut off, and I just, yeah. Okay. So apps, the one I currently use is Insight Timer. There's different guided meditations on these apps. I do not use a guided meditation. Doesn't work for me. So yeah, but I like Insight Timer a lot. It gives you like, it gives you little gold stars when you've reached certain amounts of days and stuff and how many times you've used it. And I like the gold stars. I need that reinforcement, I guess. Yeah, so that is my few cents on meditation. Just again, you're not going to be good at it, right away. I am still some days, I am still like, this timer needs to stop. Did I start the timer? That's my favorite when I'm like talk myself into the fact that I did not start my timer. And I totally have done that way more times. But, you know, when I notice myself doing that, I try to go back to my breath and use the mantra. You know, you could just even say in, out is every for every breath. And that can be a mantra. There's all kinds of mantras. Yeah. Okay. I'm not going to get cut off a second time. So, thank you, ladies, for your podcast and talking about the things you do. And let me know if you have any other questions about meditation. I'm not an expert, but I've done it for a little while, and I have a meditation teachers that I could ask. So, okay, I'll talk to you later. Can't wait to listen to the next episode. Bye bye.
Well, thank you, Maggie. Your voicemail comes at a great time where I'm trying to actually fucking meditate right now, because again, we just recorded a half an hour of the show that got fucking lost, and I want to throw the computer and smash it like it's the copier from the what's the show? What's the movie? Office Space.
Office Space. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I am so pissed right now.
Well, it's all good. It is shit happens.
Shit happens. We're here now. Yeah, let's land this plane and take it from there.
All right. So just a couple of housekeeping announcements. We are trying to plan on having a champagne brunch. I believe the date we tentatively landed on was Saturday, December 3rd. And that would be a time that is best beneficial for all of us. So it would be probably mid-morning East time.
What time is mid-morning East time?
I don't know, 11?
Just okay. 12? If you guys can stay up late for me, I can get up early for you.
Whatever. It fucking doesn't matter to me. I have a child that wakes me up at 5:30 in the morning every morning. No, it doesn't matter. But yeah, so we were thinking about doing that, and the patrons seemed into it at that time, so that kind of was promising. And yeah, we would love to do that just to kind of start to close out the season. We're going to take a little bit of a break for the holiday season. Shandy's going to be in Paris. Amanda's going to be in Connecticut. I'm going to be on Long Island and Charleston. So we're all kind of ready for a little bit of a break. And then we'll come back strong in the new year. And if for some reason the champagne brunch doesn't work out in December, we'll maybe kick off the second half of our first season with the champagne brunch.
Either way, it's happening.
It's happening, guys.
I'm down with closing out and kicking off with a champagne brunch.
You can never have champagne too many times. Side note, I have a bottle of pink bubbly that I'm going to put in my fridge tonight.
Lovely.
I've been hanging on to for months. And I'm like, you know what? I think the first female president is a good enough reason to drink pink champagne.
Yes. Yay.
Boom.
See, I was going with, I think the broadcast is a good reason to drink.
That's true.
Anyway. And actually, Colleen, hashtag humblebrag, I'm not actually going, well, I might be in Paris a little bit, but I'm actually going to Champagne. That's where my husband is from. So I will pick some up there.
Correct pronunciation.
Champagne.
I was just going to ask you the champagne, but you know, a better
accent. Yeah, no, that's a dorm at Marist College.
Hello. Well, that's
exciting. Nice. Fancy.
And if I can't recover the lost 30 minutes, this is either going to be the shortest episode ever or a reasonably length episode. I'm really
guys. We should hold it out for like a patron thing. The lost
files. We can't hold it out unless we can deliver on it. I was really mad.
Well, oh no! I'm spinning.
I know.
I'm spinning here.
I know. I'm sorry. Like, it sucks, but it's not. It's okay. It'll be okay. I don't want you to, like, literally lose sleep over it because.
Oh, I'm going to lose sleep over it. I'm literally going to stay up until I can try to recover it. Like, no, it's 1:05 right now for us right now. I'm going to be up until I can find it. If I can't find it, I'm going to, I don't know.
No.
It's not worth
throw
it.
Throw my toothbrush against the wall in protest.
Your toothbrush. You it's need your energy it. For tomorrow. It's election day tomorrow. It's okay.
Yeah, it's going to be really tough to scantron my ballot tomorrow.
Clear minds, full hearts, can't lose.
Also, my cough is still not getting any better. And I might have peed my pants like 4 times tonight. So. On that note,
we've come full circle.
Special thanks to Brad from Chicago, Tack from Tokyo, and Eckhart Rickner. We appreciate you guys, as always, for donating on the Patreon level that you do. Everybody, I thank you for voting a few days ago. / if this is the shortest episode ever, then dudes, this might be out before election day is even over. We'll see. But on that note, fuck the married man show. I'm with hers. Dicks before chicks is literally something that Donald Trump would say. And yeah,
it's very homoerotic, don't you think?
Yeah.
I feel like it is too.
Yeah.
But anyway, on that note, bitches, let's all go to sleep / stay up trying to figure this out. Would it be funny if I recovered the missing half an hour but lost this portion of the show?
And was keep this part. If I had a choice, I'd choose this part.
All right. On that note, guys, good night. I will talk to you ladies soon. I love you all and you're the best. # the end.
# talk to you soon.
#
sleep.
Yeah.
All right. Peace out, guys.
Sleep. Bye.
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 All right. I'll figure it out. Otherwise, I'm sorry, guys. I'm really upset. I have no idea where it went.
Well, could you get the backup from the?
That's what I'm trying to do.
The Google Hangout.
Oh.
Yeah, I just saved your life. You're welcome.
Why the fuck did you not tell me about this before?
I just thought of it.
Okay, so guys, we may or may not have had a backup, and we're okay. And on that note, I would like to say thank you, Maggie, for the yoga that I'm going to be doing. The meditation, which I'm going to be doing tonight and tomorrow while I'm doing all this editing together. Mad props to Amanda for reminding me a little bit after the fact that it's okay. She's a gangster. # I'm with Amanda and Shandy. Don't # me. So forget the hers. Just say I'm with he or something. I don't know. I'm with Amsha. On that note.
I'm not sure why I get to be included because it's basically all Amanda, but I will take it.
Actually, you're right. You're right. Fuck you. I'm with Amanda. # Just # that for this episode, please, when you finish it. Because
I'm with Amanda.
I'm a producer. I'm a problem solver. It's
this
what
has
we
been,
do.
Yeah, a massive thing that's happened in this episode. And you guys may or may not hear it. I might have been a little bait. I might have done my best Zach impression from earlier on. We might have come full circle and learned where he gets the temper tensions from. On that note, everybody, I hope that you have a blessed day.
# blessed.
# I'm with Amanda.
# I'm with Amanda. I think the episode title may be America on a Plate, though. And on that note, guys, we will see you all soon. Peace out, Cub Scouts. I'm much calmer than I was. I fucking forgot that we do this twice for a reason. Okay, guys.
Bye, guys.
So the very easy editing show went from easy to way easy to kind of complicated. All right. On that note, everybody, get out there and enjoy your weekend / I don't know. Have a drink for
whatever.
Me.
Whatever.
Clearly, I'm having
whatever
a bad
day it is.
Yeah. All right. Love you all. Bye.
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 Well, mommy was on screaming baby duty while daddy was exporting Westworld. And then at some point I was like,
tag out,
shut up. I have to go record now, kid. And then daddy kind of literally like tapped me out. It was like one of those, like grab you by the shoulders and be like, nope, why don't you go in there and I'll figure it out. I was like, I hate him. Not really, because he's adorable. All right. Oh, guys. What did you think about recording two openings? Like, I'll do one as, like, I'll stop it right now. And like, hello, welcome to in the broadcast where we're celebrating
the beginning
of
the end of free media.
I had a joke about Trump. It was awesome. I should have written it down, but I was so pleased with myself. Fuck, what was it? It was so good. I was like, oh my God, I'm so funny. If he wins, this is a great joke.
I'm so funny.
Amanda, do you want to rephrase that?
Why? Did I say it? See? No, I just proved my point.
But maybe we should take all of that out.
We will. Yeah.
But the irony of that. Do you see where I'm going, right?
I'm serious. Ricola's the best. Don't shit on Ricola. Ricola.
I was drinking wine. I wasn't shitting on anything. All right, I'll do it. Let me just pull it up.
That's what she said.
All right, I got it.
Dude, why didn't you tell me earlier?
I just looked up at the live sign, and I was like, oh, wait. Isn't that a thing we do?
I've never been so happy for a backup in my entire life. I'm gonna go to bed now because I'm 10.
See? I find a way. I just wanted you to sleep. I find a way. I always find a way.
I'm gonna put my cough drop back in my mouth now. Ooh. And I'm gonna cry about how wonderful this is. I thought hope was gone. Oh, all right, on that note, guys. This episode was still really fucking short, so I love it. Bye.
Yay. Yay.
All right.